Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Oh, that just means I have to get going. Let's see. All right, welcome to episode 95 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com. With Miss Me. I screwed that up. And with me is Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Go read his comic. Welcome, Mark.
Hello.
And also Tanya Higgins of Betapone.com. Welcome to
hello.
The show.
Hello. Oh, see, I jumped the gun. Hello, hello. Sorry.
Hello.
And the Webcomic Beacon is, of course, at webcomicbeacon.com. And we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community website. You can check that out at rampagenetwork.com. Right now, of course, if anyone's been paying attention, you can vote on the, I think there's 8 submissions for the caption contest that was going on. So you can click on, go to rampagenetwork.com. And I guess the link's not there, actually. But we'll post the link in the show notes. It's in the forums.
Nice. It's nice.
But there's some pretty good ones in there. Let's see here. What else do we've got going on? We have... Well, stay tuned for after the interview, as we have some news that people will want to listen to. And speaking of...
What the hell is wrong with you?
What is wrong?
Do you realize that by implication?
Just wait through all this crap, and then we'll tell you something you'll want to listen.
Well, no, I have this feeling that because I sometimes put news at the beginning of the show, but I don't want to waste so much time before we get to our guest talking about news, and I'm saying so because I have this fear that people like will listen to the interview, then they'll just like stop listening.
Mm.
So I'm like,
yeah. You still need to watch your verbiage just a touch there, because it sounded like as soon as we're done with the stuff you don't care about, we're gonna get to the news.
Well, no, I always think that
shitty.
No, I just think that the news is just stuff that people skip or for some reason I don't know why. Just like, oh, it's the news, it's over.
It's not like TiVo; they can't do that.
Really. Bloop 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 bloop. Anyway, we do have a guest this week. We have Todd Willis of the a furry version of a comic rendition of the actual Dracula. And this is, you can find this at Dracula.net. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much.
Let's see here. Your comic, Dracula, is based off of the original Dracula book?
Yeah, it's a fairly literal adaptation of Bram Stoker's novel. The original novel is written all in letters and diary entries, and so I've gone and when things pop up that I need to add something to flesh it out, I do. But I'm not chopping it up and changing it around too terribly much. You know, of course, except for the the kitty people.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the puppy people. rat folk. So do you have Have you taken any creative creative liberties in some areas where it may not be explicitly described or such?
Well, like I said, there's a couple spots where I've gone and I've added a little bit more in order to tie the entries together a little bit more. I kind of see it as I'm trying to recreate the events that were happening around these letters and diary entries and things like that, newspaper clippings, and in instances where I feel like maybe this conversation should go on a little bit longer, or think, well, this is a diary entry written by this person. What might they have left out? And I go and add, a little bit to help tie it together in comics narrative, which, of course, is different from the format of the original novel. But, Dracula isn't going to hop into his mech or anything like that.
Oh, well, all right.
That would be pretty sweet, though.
It might be. Maybe you should do some art like that then, I guess.
Totally.
Now that you mentioned and put it out there, oh man, that'd be sweet. Vampire mecha. Let's see here. Oh, speaking of art, Todd, you did an art piece for the Webcomic Beacon. You drew Becky for us, which is really awesome. People listening live can actually go and check it out right now. Go to our fan art and covers section, fan and guest art. It's a link underneath the banner. And go ahead and click on the latest one, and this will be on the cover of the show. So when you hear the MP3, it's going to be there. Thanks very much for that.
Yeah, sure. No, I got the email from you guys actually earlier this morning. It's like, oh no.
Well, that's awesome.
I hope you guys like it.
No, it's adorable
that's totally
too.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right. Now, let's see. For people that may not, you know, with all the vampire stories that are out there, all the different versions of Dracula, all of our audience may not entirely know the general gist of it. Well, they may know the general gist of it, but you think back to the old black and white, you know, kind of horror films, and then some people may remember the Bram Stoker movie version. Mm-hmm. So could you give us a basic, tell us about Dracula.
Tell you about Dracula. Oh, well, that'll take up a whole hour right there. No, a lot of the public image of you know, Dracula and what happens in the story, you know, the general idea that people have of it, a lot of that actually comes from the 1931 version of Bela Lugosi, the black and white version, and the stage play version. And the novel is there's a few things that are a little bit different. One of the biggest differences, and one of the reasons why I chose to do it with cartoon animals, which I'll get to later, is that the entire first part of the novel, up until, I'm almost done with chapter 8 right now, and up until about, you know, a couple chapters in, past that point, and definitely at this point now, they don't know Dracula's a vampire. They have absolutely no idea what's going on. And in the book, it's building up this mystery of who is this man, you know, what's going on with Lucy, what's going on with these you know, strange happenings, and figuring out that it is a vampire, and what is a vampire, what are a vampire's weaknesses. You know, these are all things that we take for granted in pop culture. Everybody knows, yeah, vampire, drive a stake through its heart, keep them out of sunlight, you know, what a vampire's powers are. These are all things that they figure out over the course of the novel.
Right. And so... what is the reason why you use the first? excuse me. See, there's nothing for you to worry about on this show. It's me and my stupid tongue.
Why do I do this with animal people?
Yeah, I mean, is it because they're cool and you want to, or do you have a meaning for it?
I draw a lot of stuff. I like cartooning animals a lot, and when I started this project, gosh, was it 5 years ago now? A while ago, and I wanted to think of something. Well, what can I do that will give me practice doing comics where I have a script in existence, it's in public domain, and I can adapt? And I was originally going to do Island of Dr. Moreau. And so I started doodling all, and I draw animal people before, but I was just doodling, and I was kind of getting into Dracula at the time, so I'll just do Dracula. And I chose to go with the animal people, in addition, because they're fun to draw, because one thing that I wanted to capture was the sense with animal critter, with, you know, cartoon animals and things like that, it's very much an innocent kind of storybook thing.
Okay.
And I wanted to try to invoke that kind of Victorian sense of innocence with these, you know, dog person and a cat person, you know, illustrated animals, and then to draw them into this mystery of what is this monster, and to try to get a sense of Dracula as an actual monster and mystery, and not as just like, you know, Bela Lugosi or Count Chocula jumping out. I was kind of trying to evoke a little bit of the sense of bad things happening to innocent critters. That's kind of gotten lost, I think, when we look at vampire legends now.
So the juxtaposition.
I don't know if that made any sense or not.
No. So you're saying that, like, the juxtaposition of the cute and cuddly.
That's the word I was looking for. Juxtaposition. There we go.
Okay. Well, awesome.
And the wolf, Dracula is a wolf, which, I mean, that's the other end of the scale, isn't it? They're not the fluffy bunny people. They're.
I want a fluffy bunny Dracula now.
Benicula. It's already been done, yeah.
Yeah, it's been done.
But that seems like, I mean, that's the perfect animal for this story, I think.
Yeah, he kind of had to be a wolf.
He's the hunter, he's the hunter killer. And clever.
And of course I'm not saying, you know, vampire stories aren't scary anymore or anything. I'm hardly saying that at all. I'm just like, I think that in the Victorian era, the way that readers looked at the novel was different from the way that we look at vampire stories today.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, and a lot of vampire stories, go for the whole sexualized romantic vampire thing. And I was kind of trying to steer away from that and go for the, wait, no, this is a bad thing. So,
yeah.
That was just my artistic decision. So, plus kitty people. So, yeah.
Plus kitty people. That's a good point. The remake of Dark Shadows was very sexualized, actually. It's not bad. If you like Dark Shadows. Thing. Yeah, it's not bad, but it is a very different thing when Lugosi was doing the stage play. Mm-hmm. It was a very different kind of vampire.
Bela Lugosi is definitely going for the whole romantic thing, too. But in the original book, Dracula is not a romantic figure. He's, you know, when he first appears, he's an old man. He's scary looking. He's got the weird teeth and you know, long mustache, and he describes him as having, you know, bestial hands with hair growing on his hands and things like that. And he's very much a much more monstrous figure than, you know, Bela Lugosi being all suave in a cape, you know?
Yeah. Let's see here. So we have Dracula, we have vampires. Other than the Bram Stoker Dracula, is there any other vampire things that have captivated you or have inspired you along the way or of interest to you in particular as far as vampires and Dracula go?
Well, I think it's more that I'm a fan of literature from that era.
Mm.
I do enjoy a good vampire film. I really love zombie movies, actually. I'm not the biggest fan of some of the more recent vampire movies. I'm trying to think what I liked. Mostly zombie movies.
Mostly zombies.
My draw to Dracula is I'm a big fan of the Victorian era. I'm a history buff, and I really like the whole steampunk genre.
Right.
And to be honest, when I first started the comic, I was also really into Hellsing, which is a pretty cool anime.
Hmm. Oh, Hellsing. Okay.
Yeah. Which has absolutely nothing to do with the Victorian era or steampunk, but is nonetheless awesome.
Let's see here. We talked about zombies the last episode.
Oh, I missed it. Well, I'm really interested. It's not so much the vampires in and of themselves as I'm interested in the horror genre. I like the many different symbols that human beings come up with to represent, you know, to represent our fears and the things that are lurking in the backs of our brains. And I think that vampires are the way that the depictions of vampires have changed from Bram Stoker's time to now is really interesting in how we've. And how that reflects how we relate to that symbol.
Yeah.
I think that stuff's really interesting. Because, I mean, back then, you have your monstrous vampires. Although you do have Varney the vampire, which he was he had guilt about being a vampire. But that was right before Dracula. More recently with things like Interview with the Vampire and... Vampire Masquerade, role-playing game, and things like that. You have vampires as, instead of being, you know, in an antagonistic role, you have a vampire as a protagonist. You have a vampire that's you know, exploring what is a sympathetic vampire. I think that's an interesting shift.
I know twinkly vampires frighten me so much I won't go see them at the kid.
I was trying to avoid that.
I'm so scared of them, I won't even go see the movie.
Yeah, speaking of sexualized vampires.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad that they have to waste such cool effects on a movie like that.
Effects? What?
Sexual effects.
Such visual effects.
Visual effects. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell are you thinking of? All the time.
Who is it they were talking to? No.
Yeah.
Have you thought of some of those other novels from that era for adaptation down the road?
The Dracula comic in and of itself is such a huge project.
Mm.
I mean, I've been working on this for 5 years now, off and on, and I've gotten, I'm at chapter 8. I'm not even halfway through the novel.
Oh,
If I was going to adapt another one, like I said, when I first started this project, I was considering adapting Island of Dr. Morrell, which is one of my favorite stories. But I don't know. It would probably be that, or I've been doing my own comic. I got over my stage fright and started doing my own story that I'm writing.
Okay.
So I'm probably going to stick with that once, and once Dracula's done, I'll see where, I'll probably be in my 40s or something, and I'll see what I'll do from there.
Wow, because that would be cool, because now I'm thinking things like Picture of Dorian Gray and...
with bunnies!
With bunnies!
Bunnies!
Like the picture is a puppy bunny and he's really not, or or maybe Jekyll and Hyde. That would be interesting too.
I like drawing the anthropomorphic animals. I don't know really if it would necessarily automatically serve every story to do a animal version of it. Some of them would be pretty funny though. Like someone at one point made a joke about how they want me to get this done so they can see a furry version of the Great Gatsby. So that was pretty hilarious.
That's a pretty hefty book in and of itself.
I think the whole predator prey, setup for the Dracula novels, that bodes well for furry versions.
That's what I was bothering too. Is that in reading the novel, the character of Lucy, I'm not gonna spoil it for the two people that haven't read Dracula yet, but the fact that we've gotten to the point in the comic now where she's being Dracula's going after her,
mm-hmm.
and I feel bad for her. I've been working on this comic for so long, and a large chunk of what I was working on was the section where she's just drifting around talking about all the men she has crushes on, and it's all fluffy Victorian stuff, and now the bad stuff's happening. I'm like, oh no!
You're identifying too much with your own character, and you know what's going to happen.
I know what's
going
to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, wait, I have the pen in my hand. I can save her.
Well, if it's cool, I'll save her. And she'll get into her mech, and she'll battle with Dracula.
Okay, you're going to have to draw that. I mean, for everyone listening, even your fans, you put it out there, they're going to want some sort of art like that.
Mech Battle Dracula 5000.
When you're done with the entire thing, that's what you can do. You can do the director's cut where you save Lucy with the mecha.
Yeah.
The short version of Dracula.
Actually, if you want to see the short version of Dracula, if you guys seen the Hammer Horror of Dracula?
No.
It's like the Dracula story as if Abraham von Helsing had been on top of the situation from page one.
if he had it going.
It's a very good movie, of course, right?
But if you look at it from that perspective, it's hilarious. Because he knows right away that Dracula's a vampire. He sends Jonathan Harker in. Jonathan Harker gets killed. He shows up right away, stakes Jonathan Harker. And I was like, okay, guys, it's a vampire. Here's how you read this. Okay, go.
It's just done. Yeah.
That might be okay if it was Peter Cushing doing it.
It was Peter Cushing.
Okay, then.
It's Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, and it's awesome. It's definitely one of my favorite adaptations.
Awesome. But we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, more.
And stuff.
And things.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live.
Are we still on the air?
He says let's go to break, and it's all a big lie.
Don't believe him.
Oh, man.
It's a part where I put in a sound clip, but we never really go to break because when we used to, I used to miss all this good content, and then we would just keep talking, and then it's like 10 minutes later, oh, well, we should come back.
He has blackmailed so many guests by, you know, some slip of the tongue about how, you know, Rush Limbaugh's a great guy or something.
Next thing you know, angry hordes.
Yeah, you know how, I don't know, he'll say something, and that's how Fess finances the Beacon.
I think it started early on.
I can't even think of anything to say that would be jokey blackmail. I'm wearing socks that don't match.
Oh, my God! You hate America!
I think it started early on when I was very concerned about the way I came across on the Beacon. And so when he'd say, let's go to break, I'd kind of go back to my actual personality. And that's when he would get all the boobie and vagina jokes. And so he just started lying about break.
That's awesome.
We're on to you, man.
You've ruined my reputation that I'd worked so very hard on.
It's kind of similar when I used to work with kids. I used to work at a summer camp. And I don't know if I should even tell this story.
Well, yeah, now you have to.
I used to work for a summer camp. It's not my coworker. Anyway, so my first week of camp and his first week of camp, we're trying to get the walkie-talkies to work. And he keeps pressing the button and saying stuff into the walkie-talkie, and it just doesn't work. You know, and every counselor at the camp has a walkie-talkie, and the kids are all clustered around them throughout the camp. Anyway, finally he gets it to work by hitting the button and, you know, shouting this obscenity into the walkie-talkie. And everyone in the camp is like, looks at him.
It was
pretty beautiful.
That's awesome.
Was that really a dun-dun-dun moment?
For him.
I'm fired, aren't I?
I'm fired.
Now that's a word you should never use, children.
Yeah, I don't know. I've sent my kids to summer camp, and I always feel like if the counselors weren't cussing by the end of at least the third day with my son, there was something wrong with them, and we should probably move somewhere else.
I went 4 years never swearing in front of a kid.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah, and then finally, I was hanging out with some of the kids from the camp. I was doing art lessons for them, and a song comes on the air, and it's a song I hate. And I was like, oh my God, I hate this damn song. And then all of them was like, you just ruined your streak!
Over Dam? Aw, Dam's not even a good one.
I know. But I really hated the song, too.
I hate this holding back water song. No, that's stupid.
What the hell? Oh, Dam. Oh.
When you're in grade school, you always get away with Dam. Because I'm referring to, you know, the Mississippi Dam.
Yeah, viewers.
Did that work for you, Fess? Really?
Seriously? Wow.
I don't really remember. I remember using that excuse.
I remember I didn't really have much to be upset about in grade school. There wasn't a lot of cussing, I think, going on. I don't know. Then again, you know, I had hippie parents. My mother is listening today, by the way. Hi, Mom. I've only mentioned vaginas and boobies once.
That's twice. That's twice now.
It wasn't in a sexual context, though. Does that make it
better? Oh, she said the S word. Oh, gee.
All right.
Pardon me.
Don't we have a subject?
We do have a subject. And,
get back to it.
Well, Todd's on the phone, so he really can't check these links out.
I
will hold off on the links until a little bit later. What I want to ask is, have you ever played any tabletop role-playing games?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's my biggest hobby.
Do you play World of Darkness or Dungeons & Dragons versions?
I played a little bit of World of Darkness. I played in a World of Darkness LARP for a little while. That was pretty fun. But I mostly play D&D and I play GURPS and some indie games.
Okay.
And yes, I role-play.
Sweet.
We love you.
In one of the last couple years of college, I was in a World of Darkness role playing. The guy who did it is an experienced storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what, it's not a Dungeon Master, it's a Storyteller in World of Darkness version.
Yeah.
And I love the D10 dice system. I love that way better than the D20 system. I hate it. I hate the D20. But anyway, so he had seven of us going at once, and he combined the vampire, mage, and werewolf all together into this one story, and it was awesome.
That sounds cool.
It was really sweet, because it's like all seven of us originally, well, he kind of all brought us all together, and then he had us all awaken or whatever. We had to choose which ones we wanted to be so he could, mm-hmm. you know, write the story. And I was like the only mage, and then there's three vampires and then three werewolves. So I kind of eventually had to pick a side because they don't really get along. Then it became like an us versus them a little bit, and this one guy, the one vampire, just hated me. And then one time, nobody else, not enough people showed up to continue the story. So what we did is like, all right, let's... Can we do a fight scene? I just really want to see who's going to win. So we're in a bar. And we have this bar scene. And I don't really know that many spells or whatever. And but of course, you know, he really could kick my ass. The only thing is that by the end of it, I ended up setting the entire place on fire. So he's like in a frenzy. And I don't really remember exactly what happened, but I think I killed like a bunch of people and maybe him, but also myself. But
so it's score by clusterfuck, basically.
Yes!
Oh, that's four. Oh, gee.
But it was appropriate. It was apropos, Mark.
I mean, there's a lot of alcohol in the bar, so.
Yeah, that stuff torches nice. And if you're gonna go out. Go out in a blaze of glory.
Oh dear. So Todd, you do. I notice, like on your site and stuff, that uh-huh. you do a lot of icons and I guess bookmarks and things like that as well.
Oh yeah, those are fun.
Do you sell them?
I do. Well, on my journal, my live journal, I often do a thing called Icon Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'll say, hey guys, it's Icon Day. If you want an icon, request one. You can leave a tip if you'd like to leave a tip, and if you'd like to request one for free, you can request one for free. And I say that I'm going to draw as many as I can get to that day. If people tip, they're guaranteed an icon, and if tips go to a certain amount, then I draw all the icons. And so this way I end up drawing like 100, 200 icons at a go, and it's pretty awesome.
Sweet. And you do like watercolor and stuff like that too, or you shade them somehow.
It's right? ink wash, isn't it?
Yeah, I work with watercolors and ink, and I do that for my Dracula comic too.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen ink wash a few times. It's a pretty cool effect.
I'm sorry, you cut out.
Is it mostly you're doing an ink wash?
I'm sorry, I missed it. You cut out for a second. Are
okay.
you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Sorry. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I was asking if it's an ink wash that you're mostly using.
No, it's actually it's gray and black watercolors.
Ah. Well, alrighty. Well, that answers that question.
From Magnatune.com, the source for PodSafe music, this is System A Vampire from Burning Babylon's Beat 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 album. We'll be right back.
Let's see here. There are a couple of vampire webcomics that I want to mention. And I'm gonna start off by asking you, since you don't have a computer right now.
Well, I can go up to my computer.
Well, you could.
See, I have people in the other room. So let's see if they can.
Well, it's good. Oh, okay.
Hey guys, I need to use the internet, and I'm on the podcast. I need you guys to be quiet. If you could, please do that. I need to look at some cool web comics. Okay. They give me the thumbs up. All right.
They're all getting ready to scream in any moment.
Yeah, I would.
They're all pretty embarrassing stuff. I don't have your blackmail material.
Oh, beautiful.
Thanks, guys. All right, where am I going?
Okay.
There's a little bit of panic in that, thanks.
There's a girlomatic.com slash.
Girlomatic?
Yeah.
.com.
With an A, right?
Slash girl. Bite me.
Yeah.
Bite me.
Yes.
It's girl-o-matic.
There's no tilde in there or anything?
Nope. One word.
All right. Bite me. All right. Here we go.
Now, this is a...
Not found. Wow. Yeah. Not found.
Spell girl-o-matic.
It's with an A.
G-I-R-L-A-M-A.
Oh, A. Girl-o-matic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bite me.
I was going to say, Not Found is my favorite webcomic.
I find that one a lot.
I know, it's everywhere on the internet. Yeah, it hasn't gotten any better, but no. So. All right, here it is. Cool.
This is a completed story, actually, and so you can, like, sit through, but it takes, like, a long time to go through it all, but let's see, it started in 2003, ended in 2005, and... It's really awesome. It starts this, this Claire, and she eventually meets up with vampires and whatever, and it's during the French Revolution, too. So, but this is
some great art.
This is one I highly recommend people to check out if they haven't already. I'd say more, but it's like, it's all story related and twists and turns, but it's like a balance between it. There's a lot of comedy in it as well as a little bit of drama, but I think mostly comedy, but it certainly is one worth checking out. There is also Vlad, V-L-A-D, thevegan.com with Vlad the Vegan Vampire, which I know some people like.
Yeah, that one's just terrifying.
Vlad. Is this in a relation to Ducula?
No, but I do remember Ducula.
Fine tradition of the vampire.
Ducula.
Count Ducula. I remember that on Nickelodeon way back when.
That show is why I like Dracula.
Count Ducula.
Count Ducula was brilliant.
It was a British cartoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, the same people that made Danger Mouse, I think.
Yeah.
I love Danger Mouse.
It was the Danger Mouse, folks.
Oh, here they we can go. Do Vlad no the all. Vegan Vampire.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the style on this one, too.
Basically, I'm going to be just going over a couple. Oh, I remember another one that had... I think it was an impression before on the show. It was Biff the Vampire at sillyvamp.com. I think it makes them. I think they're furries, actually. But let me. I got to click back a few, or bats at least.
What, Dale? Vampire socks. Would you stop whispering things to me? I'm on the phone. my roommate says that you need some vampire songs.
They're all licensed, I'm sure.
That would be the issue. We don't want to pay anybody the 7 cents to play the song.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. It makes sense.
Well, are you saying you know where you can get licensed music?
Halloween carols. Huh?
It's 7 cents.
Halloween carols. I sent you a link, Fess, to where you can get some tunes.
Yeah, but
tunage.
Can I
for
think
free
I can find like vampire songs on there?
Probably.
How long would that take? I don't know. I'll take a look at it later. See if I...
As long as we only play, what is it, like 15-second clips of the songs, you don't have to pay royalties or something.
Is that for real? Because I don't want to have to re-edit.
I think you might want to research that a little bit more, but yeah. I know you can get away with like a little tiny clip. That's why Amazon, you know, if you go to buy music on Amazon, you can listen to their little preview. It's like 10 seconds.
The reason, I think the reason why he said that is because I am a big fan of Halloween, and he's not the biggest fan of Halloween, and I've been playing Halloween radio for the past 2 years.
Have a radio
Halloween
station
awesome.
That plays Halloween
Halloween
stuff?
Is the best day.
Halloween is my favorite ever. Holiday. I used to spend more money on Halloween than I did Christmas until I had children. And then they just don't go for that.
They don't go for Halloween?
No, it's that they expect some presents on Christmas. So I wind up spending, you know, more on Christmas now. But as soon as they're out of the house, I'm right back to spending $600 on Halloween.
Sweet.
I used to, like, we had this great cemetery scene at the house. We had... you know, with the freshly dug graves, we used burlap sacks, you know, stuffed with leaves to make like the long graves and covered them with dirt. And all the tombstones were like old circus freaks who died. And fucking amazing. I loved Halloween so much. I still do.
My panic link this week, on my website, I have a button that says panic. So if you go there, it should take you to something cool, usually something New England-y, but. at least something interesting. So this week it's links to a site about vintage Halloween stuff.
Panic button.
Yeah, it's that's
panic.
That's yeah, panic.
My computer is still loading the site. Computer, cooperate.
So that's my panic link this week is this site that has some vintage Halloween stuff on it. I guess people collect it.
Yeah.
Halloween. Sweet.
My ultimate goal for Halloween, because I live in Colorado, is to go to the Stanley Hotel's Halloween ball, which is a big ass deal. And, you know, people spend thousands on their costumes, and it's supposed to be just a tremendous event. So it's my ultimate goal for Halloween.
Sweet.
Sweet.
My dad loves Halloween too. Though I don't know. I never ever have the day off. It's always just on the weekend when I work. So, and I don't know. I always wanted to like make a costume of this or that, but I just never have the time or the means really. But you know, they always used to decorate everything. And when I was a kid, I always decorated Christmas, Halloween, some other holiday where I can try to get lights up or something.
Arbor Day,
green lights.
that big year, Arbor Day festival at Westwood's house.
Last year, I got a Michael mask and like the whole outfit, and I went over to surprise my dad basically, and I just showed up. I kind of knocked at the door, just kind of stood in front of the doorway.
How are you, young man?
It's a front door with a window, so I just kind of stood staring in.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So
you need to be a little more hulking though. You're not really Mike Myers.
Well, I'm not
hulking.
Tall, but I'm broad-shouldered.
There is that. You are. Go waggle your butt somewhere else. I'm sorry. Please continue. Jesus.
Anyway, is that IT?
Yeah, that would be IT. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize to my mother who's listening. Thanks, IT.
Dork. Anyway.
Could have been something else, but anyway.
Yeah. Just to mention the last vampire web. I mean, you can type in vampire comic, vampire webcomic into Google and find a bunch of stuff. And there's this one kind of cute one. I think I've seen it before, but I hadn't seen it for a long time. It's called Charby the Vampirette. And
where's that one at?
It's on drunkduck.com.
Drunkduck.com.
/ Charby.
Charby.
_ the.
The.
_ vamp pirate.
Holy crap.
VAMPIRATE.
Oh, there's extra letters. Okay.
Let's see if he gets it.
Vampire. All right.
You got it?
No, it's not found comic again.
Okay.
I find that one more often than not.
It's C-H-A-R-B-Y.
All right. Hang on, computer. Stop. Oh, gosh. my laptop's on its way out.
Listen. Oh, hang on.
All right. Charby, C-H-A-R-B-Y.
Underscore.
Underscore.
The.
Wait, how do you spell the? I'm just kidding. Okay. The.
And then underscore vampirate.
Vampirate, as in pirate.
Arg.
Yeah.
Arr. Okay. Arr. Arr. Arr, you know, pirate. This is vampirate, like as in small vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's why, because I can't spell or listen.
Oh.
There it goes. Oh. Okay.
There's a lot of.
I like the idea of a vampirate. I like that. Okay.
Well, she's adorable, but I have to go click back a few and see how it goes. But that is the last vampire webcomic I'm going to be linking to on the show today. If anybody listening has any other vampire comics, please be sure to post a link to them when we post the show. Post it in the comments so people can check out other vampire-related webcomics. And... I don't know what the chat room's talking about.
They're talking about Halloween.
Yeah, but somebody's talking about Dick in a Box.
What?
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
No, Garon no. just mentioned it. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it in talking about vampires this week and Dracula.
What's the other webcomic that you do?
Yeah, what's
my other webcomics. I do my new comic, which has literally just started like a couple of weeks ago. It's maybe 8 pages long right now. Is at ekwara.com.
You're definitely going to have to spell that.
Yeah, ekwara.com.
There's a link from the Dracula comic there too.
Oh yeah, there's a link up the top of the Dracula comic.
Yep.
And there's also my 24-hour comic that I finished last month up on there, too.
Oh, good job. Congratulations on your
conclusion. Well, I kind of died towards the end, so the last pages are penciled, but I did finish it, so. Well, I kind of finished it.
That's the Crimson Flag thing?
That's Ekwara is my own story that I'm writing.
Okay.
It's my fantasy world that I've been working on for a while. And then Crimson Flag is a fantasy adventure comic with some Fox people. And my friend Vermeer writes that, and I do the pencils, and then he inks it and colors it digitally.
Okay.
Do you do the anything digitally with your art, or is all on paper?
I used to do a lot more digital work than I do now. At one point, a couple of years ago, my Wacom tablet broke, and I started doing watercolors again, and I decided to like it better.
Very nice. Well, I like it.
Yeah, there's a good atmosphere to it.
I do the lettering in my comics and the speech balloons with the computer, and I'm starting to get a little better at that.
Well, cool beans. Let's see here. Todd, I wanted to thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. And is there anything else you want to pimp before we let you go?
Gosh, I don't know. Everybody have a happy Halloween and eat a ton of candy. And watch some awesome movies in the true spirit of Halloween.
Will do. Todd, thanks very much once again for coming on the show. Great rendition of Dracula here. And
Thank you.
Good luck with your move.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I gotta get out the door by Thursday morning with two cats.
Awesome.
No. Yeah, they're not going to think it's so awesome. But they have no idea.
Meow! That's it. Once again, you can check out Todd Willis's Dracula at draculacomic.net. I might have linked the wrong version. Yep, I got it right there. Draculacomic.net. Todd, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, see you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, we lost Tanya again. Well, that was a perfect time to go to break. And when we come back, news.
And it's about time.
Whoa, 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 mister.
Wedge.
Whoa, mister.
All right.
My internet keeps cutting out. We don't know what's wrong with it, so.
It just can't handle the Tanya-iness.
Your mom's listening. It's trying to be proactive.
Oh, now it's trying to salvage my relationship with my family.
Yeah.
You're intimidating your internet connection.
I know.
Is that what it is?
That must be it. Yes, I fear that I am intimidating. And while Twitter says that, in fact, I am not intimidating.
Well, I said it depends on how you mean. You need context for a lot of answers.
Well, and apparently it seems that I'm only intimidating when I'm sort of, I don't know, trolling for nerds. That would be when I'm intimidating.
Trolling for nerds. Oh, all right.
I seem to make certain people very uncomfortable.
Like Mark.
Like Mark when he flinches and jumps away from me as though I'm carrying a knife.
That's because you're a girl.
Well, hey, thanks for noticing. That's a plus.
Yay. let's see. Before the show we were talking about what Mark's comic is a cross between Peanuts and something else, and I forgot what it was. I was wondering if you had an idea.
It's not Calvin and Hobbes.
See, I kind of think it has a Calvin and Hobbes-ish sort of feel to it.
There's a dash of it in there.
There is a touch. Peanuts is definitely in there.
I can't remember what else it would be.
I'm not really sure.
Because I had this cool tagline, but it needs to be Peanuts and then another thing. I thought it was King of the Hill, but that didn't really make any sense.
No, nobody sells propane.
I don't consider it all that King of the Hillish.
I know, but I don't remember what it was. I remember it was a little off as far as, wait, that doesn't sound right. Then I had this tagline, but it doesn't work unless I have another thing to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Mark, you need to make some ads. Look at that link.
Yeah.
Look at that link I sent you about how to make a good ad. And I even have, I think using kind of like your title. Like, you have the Autumn Lake title, and you have, like, a character or something like that to the right. I keep forgetting his name. The one with the dandelion. The Grouch and the dandelion.
Oh, Leonard.
Yeah. No, not Leonard.
Sherm.
Sherm. Sherm and the dandelion. That's a really cool one. Just somehow, like, push those together with a tagline. and I think that'd be, like, a cool banner logo. I mean, it has some, you know, it shows a bit of the art and such. It looks interesting. And then just a fun line, and for each one of them, you know, and then send them to me, and then I'll run a freaking campaign for you for crying out loud. If you only have 200 readers, that's
well, that's in the U.S. I have 400 globally.
Oh well, there
See,
you go.
See, that's still sick and wrong. I'm sorry. Your comic is one very professionally done, and you know, two, it's well written. It updates ridiculously often.
It does, because I have no life, so it gives me time to do comicking.
Maybe people are afraid from listening to you on the Beacon that should they read your comic, they'll have to slit their wrists.
You think?
You should stop.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't bear it. It's too... No.
But it's
not. You think that's what they do, huh? No?
It might be. No, it's an excellent comic, and everyone should read it. I'm always annoyed when I find out that comics that are good get less readers than mine. Like, that makes me mad. I get really upset.
Damn me being popular.
But I'm popular for the wrong reasons, apparently. Everyone's just hoping there's going to be something about boobs. I can't imagine people are coming to me for, you know, tremendous art and a great update schedule. I haven't updated in 3 months.
Five.
They should... 5 months, okay.
Mom, you need to take some dish soap and wash your mouth out with it. That's what you got to do.
So the issue is...
Yes?
It upsets me to know they can't possibly be coming because, you know, I'm a professional cartoonist. I'll admit, it's kind of...
Unlikely they will. Well, we lost her again. Oh.
Excuse me. I hiccuped. Tanya.
We lost Tanya.
We lost Tanya.
Grant.
I'll call her back. In the meantime, if you head on over to therampagenetwork.com, you'll see on the homepage, at least right now anyway, there's a caption contest. Vote now, basically. I'm gonna click on the forums, actually. If you go to the forums on the Rampage Network, click on contests, the contests forum, and you'll see right there October 2009 caption contest. Vote in now. We got a caption contest. Captions going for the Jenny and Jenny artwork, and we have a couple here. I'm not going to go over them because it's not going to sound that cool, but there are 7 selections, and voting will end the 31st. So check that out, and look forward for more caption contests in the coming months, and we're going to try to get some of the people that have been on the show before to do some of the caption. To do some of the artwork to do for caption contests, and I'm going to get a list of things that we can give away from Horatio, because we try to give things away. And now, that being said, you guys remember the Wagon webcomic battle, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. And so Wagon webcomic battle at WagonWebcomicBattle.com is basically a card game that uses webcomics for character cards, plot device cards, basically the whole subject matter of it. Now, with, 10,000 plus, webcomics out there, it's like, well, you might not have heard of some of them, of course, but there are a couple of big names in here mixed with some you probably never heard of before. Go ahead and check out WagonWebcomicBattle.com. Check out the card database and see some of this, the people that have been in here. There's 5 decks right now, 4 decks right now. Deck 0, Alpha Deck, Beta Deck, and Gamma Deck. So I'm not sure if people can get the 0 deck anymore. But there should be another one coming out in the next few months. And one of the cards is going to be a podcast card. And the Webcomic Beacon is going to be nabbing the first podcast card. Basically, it's kind of like a round waster, because you're sitting and listening to a podcast and no one can really do a whole lot. But what we're going to do is people have seen our wallpaper before. It's the beacon field, basically. It has the tower on the field in the background, sending out its little radio waves. And what we usually have is on the show is my art, where Becky's kind of, holds her hand up presenting the show with that in the background. What we're doing is we're having another art contest before, I think it was last year, actually. It was with Jenny Everywhere. People had to draw a Jenny Everywhere card, basically, and 3 people won last year. But this year, it's going to be for Becky. You need to draw Becky presenting the show, basically, and the winner will be the official art for the Webcomic Beacon podcast card for Wagon Webcomic Battle. And now we lost Mark. So
I just don't know.
I know.
That's okay.
There he is.
So, here's the thing. While we can only offer one person, the first place, will win the promotion, because it's a promotional card. It's not going in the deck. It's a promotional card, so it's not something you can get normally. But I will say that the winner will win a copy of the newest deck, as well as the promotional card. And I believe I'm going to have at least the top 10 participants win the promotional card as well. I'm going to say top 10 for now, in case it gets ridiculously in case we get ridiculous entries, because I have to pay for all this myself too, of course. But it shouldn't be that much. But of course, if people are submitting art for this, Becky presenting the Webcomic Beacon. These arts will also be used for show covers as well, because why not? So I'll post within the next few days outlining everything that you need to do to get in on this. No background, because the background's already there, so you know, just that. But I believe it's something like almost 2 by 3 inches, almost, or 3 inches by 2 inches, and a 300 DPI is what they need at least. So that's some quick information there. As far as other news, let me go to our Twitter account and see. That's right. We are on Twitter, twitter.com/webcomicbeacon, trying to see what we have on here. Well, it doesn't look like anybody's sent much as far as news and notices, but you can follow us. Sometimes I post tweets out that we're looking for certain types of shows and whatnot. We're kind of looking for spinoffs right now. We're trying to get a couple of people on the show to talk about spinoffs that they've done from their webcomics. Some examples would be Abel's Story from Dan and Mab's Furry Adventures. Is one. There's also Super Fogies Origins, which is a spinoff of Super Fogies, and there's a few others on here. Somebody mentioned Girly being a spinoff of Cute Wendy, which I guess kind of is, but may not be a sequel as much as it is a spinoff. But you know, that's kind of like, well, what is it? You know, but would you also consider a sequel to be a spinoff?
Well,
I kind of think so.
It could be. Well, that's like saying Archie Bunker's Place is a spinoff, when really that's a sequel to All in the Family.
Yeah. Well, so does that make Afterstrife a sequel to Housed? Or is it a spinoff? Well, see, because it doesn't have all the same characters, though. I always considered, like, you know, a sequel to be something that was the same characters but in a different place, a different location, or a different time. Whereas a spinoff would be where you just take like maybe one character, which is why I considered Afterstrife to be a spinoff of Housed, because it's only the one character that continued, you know, that went on into Afterstrife. Housed ended, but
like when Mrs. Garrett went off to do Facts of Life. After
exactly.
She appeared in Different Strokes.
See, that would be a spinoff to me.
Or when Florida Evans went to go do Good Times.
All of your references are from 1970. Have you noticed that? Wow.
All in the Family begat Maude, who begat Good Times.
Who begat, yes. But if it's just the one character who then goes on to star in their own sort of, you know, story, I consider that to be a spinoff.
I suppose I can see that. Though then again, if it turns out like a lot of it relates to the original, like almost directly, if it directly relates to an ending of a pre-existing story or concept, I kind of would call that a sequel.
That would be a sequel. So then Afterstrife still qualifies as a spinoff. Because it's an entirely different storyline. It has nothing to do with Housed. It just has the one character, and it's his new existence. So that is a spinoff. I'm solid on that.
Alrighty.
Take the word for it.
And if he wishes to argue with me, he of course can, because it's his comic.
Someone someone in the chat room says, would Sillies of Cad count as spinoffs? And I don't know, when a piece of shit takes a shit, does that count as a
spin-off?
Oh
my god.
Or what?
Her mom is listening, Fess.
No, my mom's heard. I mean, she's my mother. She's heard so much worse.
From Magnatune.com, from Electric Frankenstein's album Conquers the World, this is Coolest Little Monster.
You're horrid. You're ghastly, and I love you true. So here are some presents I'm sending to you.
I'll send a small box of smallpox, a large tub of hubbub, your own noose for home use, a crate full of hateful. You're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me. I'll send a lipstick of arsenic, one urn of sunburn, 6 cups of hiccups, a
'cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me. Monster mine, you haunt me all the time. I'll be true, I'm so in love with you. Looby dooby dooby dooby, 8 nails of hangnails, some pass cards for graveyards, a werewolf for your wolf, some bat wings for earrings, 'cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me. My dear, you're so ravishing. Where did you ever dig up that dress? Monster mine, you haunt me all the time. I'll be true, I'm so in love with you. Looby dooby dooby dooby, green hair for nightwear, some lap robes of earlobes, a hat pin of back skin, and 3 scraps of kneecaps. 'Cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me.
My dear, since I first laid my eyes on you, I can't get them back in the sockets.
'Cause you're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me.
No, it's, you know, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of Buckley fans out there. Mm-hmm. I get that. But do you have to be dissing people? Come on.
Buckley? Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
See, I understand that, but doesn't even though it's Buckley, don't we still have to follow the don't be an ass rule of webcomics? Don't be an ass. Because
no.
You're going to meet these people at some point. You're going to run across them.
I better not. I don't want to meet that jerk off.
Oh my God.
Sure you do. So you
and I don't
want to
meet the other jerk off that I mentioned on the webcomic interviews and reviews show either.
Oh,
yeah.
That one that we don't mention.
Oh, that show is so awesome. I'm so jealous it's not a webcomic beacon episode, actually.
That was a flame war all of our
I
own.
Loved
it's like
it.
You just went off.
I know, I loved it. Oh, that's so awesome.
Fest didn't take his meds for that entire show.
Somebody also mentioned Hooky Dooky Panic and Geist, or Geist Panic, I think it is.
Geist Plank.
I'm not even sure if it's even a spinoff. I don't think there's any characters from it.
Yeah, if it's just another comic that the creator does.
Yeah.
Well, like I mentioned Indie Tits, which Jeff Jocks does, and you know, who also does
Yeah, that's kind of a spinoff.
Content. But it's not really a spinoff because it's a bird screaming.
I know, but he has
it really has nothing to do with questionable content
at
all.
No, sometimes the bird shows up in the comic as filler.
See, that's almost a crossover, though.
Sarah Jane Adventures is a spinoff of Doctor Who.
But then there's, of course...
Torchwood,
yeah.
Is a spinoff of Doctor Who.
No,
okay,
but
Pie follows a character from Queen of Wands in her own story.
Right.
And then there's a Queen of Wands character in Something Positive as well, but that's just a character amalgamation. It's a character assimilation more than it is
different actor. You know, same actor, different role.
Do you think it's easier for people to do spin-offs who do these sort of short comic stories? Not like anthologies, but maybe they just do short little self-contained stories. It's not a running strip or anything.
It might be, but actually, we shouldn't really talk about all this.
Is for our other show.
Yeah, we need to save this for another show. So basically, this is something that we're
nice.
Going to be talking about in a coming episode. So we're going to be looking to grab a couple of people. I know it's Nate Hammond's idea to do spinoffs. So who does Jazz and Jess?
I love Nate.
So he came up with that. So I'm going to try to get that scheduled. Right now, I do have a couple of things that I'm trying to schedule and get going. Next week, I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen yet. But yeah.
Wait and find out.
Yeah.
Next week, it could be anything. Never know.
Well, now that con season is, you know... pretty much dead.
much over now.
I don't know of any major cons coming up until March again, so we should be able to get guests.
I already tried
the guests that I've been talking about.
I already tried to get Brad Geiger, but it doesn't sound like it's going to work.
Ever?
Well, he's busy on Sundays.
Oh. So. See, he's terminally nice. We should find a way, though.
Well, I did send a message, like a reply to his reply, and mm-hmm. saying, and I didn't hear anything back, but I did say, if any other time during the week we can get on for, like, you know, at least a small interview, that would work. But I didn't really hear much back from that, I did mention that I said if the next time you get that they record a Webcomics Weekly is if you try, I would like them to talk about, you know, the whole hobbyist versus, you know, aspiring professional topic. So
you're not necessarily going to enjoy the way that goes.
No, but I'm genuinely curious to know what straight off professionals think on that subject.
Yeah.
We need to have another one of those episodes.
Yeah, because there's nothing like listening to you rant and rave. About how you don't have to do anything right because you're just a hobbyist.
Ain't that spiffy?
Wasn't that special?
And then, hey, this time I can join in with how guilty I feel for not doing anything right, even though I consider myself an amateur.
Speaking of which, no, shoot. I really did have some news, but I totally... Oh, yes, my email. Let's see here. What do we got? Let's see here.
We're not supposed to forget ads. Did you forget the adverts?
I'm not forgetting the ads. There's supposed to be a contest or... Have you heard of Split Lip?
No.
Webcomicsnation.com/splitlip. I probably should have tried to mention this earlier. But there was supposed to be some sort of Halloween contest where you go to, let's see, samcostello.net, and there's some information on there about basically win a copy of Split Lip Volume 1 by tweeting Split Lip or joining Split Lip Facebook account, you know, adding him, you know, basically, you know, get some word of mouth stuff going. I'm trying to find a direct link for people to find out on the show, but I'll just link in the episode show notes and I'll post that. It's a horror comic essentially, but I got this a while ago and I didn't even look at it until this week, just because this month has been so crazy with all the not regular episodes that have been going on from the middle of the month, but I'm going to stick this the comic in our Searchlight Impressions that we got to eventually do again at one point. Let's see here. Really sorry. I'm kind of being all over the place right now.
It's okay.
It's Halloween.
No.
Soon there will be pumpkins in the air. And
we haven't even started our pumpkins yet, which is so wrong because it takes forever. We do crazy pumpkins, and it takes us forever.
I tried, but I didn't have any good utensils, so I gave up and just made, like, a basic one.
We use wood carving tools.
Oh, yeah.
For our pumpkins.
It doesn't matter. They all still smash the same.
Nobody smashes our pumpkins.
Nobody takes your pumpkins and smashes them?
Never. Never have our pumpkins been smashed.
There's a challenge.
I like to think it's because they're made of awesomeness and people respect that. But it's probably just because, you know, they're off getting drunk somewhere else.
Maybe.
But
oh, no, I had to throw away the pumpkin I carved.
Why?
Already?
Yeah.
Why?
Less than a week. I looked over at it and noticed it kind of, you know, wilting over. And then I looked closer and then I noticed all this fuzz inside. And I was like, I don't want to touch that. It was I didn't want to touch it at all, and I had trouble finding a spot where I could hold it, because it's a huge-ass pumpkin.
Yeah.
It was huge. It's like a 50-pound pumpkin or 40, or whatever. I don't really know.
There are ways, actually, to stop it from molding.
Oh, you seal it.
Yeah. And we soak our pumpkins, too, so that they don't wither, so that they stay all ripe and full.
Soak it in what?
in water. You just take them like in the bathtub overnight, you know, or during the day when they're not lit up, you put them in the bathtub, and then
after you carve them.
After you've carved them, and then they reabsorb the water so that they stay full. They don't wrinkle up and ruin your design.
So they stay full and moist and wanting bacteria. What?
But no, they don't. We've never, I think, I can't remember what we did, but you can put something in the water that stops them from molding as well.
Aspirin.
Not aspirin. Why would aspirin help?
I don't know. That's what
you just have to do this once, right? Or do you got to keep doing it?
Well, it depends. You have to do it about once a week. Depending on how dry it is where you live, you might have to do it a little bit more, but we do it once a week. Normally, we have them done by now.
So, wow, you do like real pumpkins.
We do awesome pumpkins. Last year, Stephen's pumpkin was an image of Shaun of the Dead with the bat, the cricket bat. And then I did one. It was like a whole demon coming out of hell and flames and all kinds of things. And
why don't we have a beacon pumpkin with a little beacon tower?
I can totally do a beacon pumpkin this year.
Oh, speaking of which, Tanya.
Yeah.
Do you answer your tweets for me or your email for me? I need your address.
Oh, like, you need my address. I'll send you
some cards. They're sweet cards.
I will send you my address right this second.
One.
Did you get mine?
Yes, I did. And I'll send them both out. And on Monday, probably.
I can't believe I'm letting you know where I live.
Oh, yeah, because I'm so totally going to road trip it down there. So wherever, Colorado or wherever it is.
Wherever in Colorado I happen to live.
Anyway, this week we have a few Project Wonderful advertisers that are wonderful because they're advertising on us. And
on us. It sounds as though we've carved them into our chest.
Yes. Ah. At the very top, we have Jaden and Crusader with their webcomic beacons on ad, and you can check that out at jadenandcrusader.com. And of course, we also have Jaden and Crusader at jadenandcrusader.com taking up the tower ad right now. And this is actually a new one I haven't seen before. Lost the link. There it is. And it's not a webcomic beacon specific one, but it's a new link and it looks pretty cool. And who's the guy at the top at? I keep forgetting. A weirdo. Anyway, the latest trip, they've actually started updating again because they linked a couple of times when they just had like some filler art. Oh no! When you don't have a strip going, but they started updating again. So check out Jaden and Crusader at jadenandcrusader.com. And at the bottom of every single post on the regular banner size, we have Yosh at yoshsaga.com. Check that out. Let's see here. There's been some crazy stuff going on. There's always crazy stuff going on in Yosh. So check out Yosh at yoshsaga.com. Thanks very much for advertising on the Webcomic Beacon. Every penny counts. Every penny helps as we advertise more of the show and try to use that money to go to conventions. But, of course, it usually just ends up being in advertisements. I got to come up with a new way to do some coming ads or something like that. I think I'll advertise the contest. Maybe I'll advertise the contest. I don't know. I'll think of something. Anyway, do you guys have any news?
I have nothing.
Nothing!
I'm no longer
Don't forget
in...
the cookbook we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Nobody's shown any interest. Well, some people have shown interest, but it's like, I don't know, it's kind of hard. You kind of have to have, like, stuff like that, you got to have, like, people that show the initiative and do stuff, and then other people will go on. It's like everyone's waiting for somebody else to do something. So, I don't know.
What's that? The cookbook?
Yeah.
Well, I think we could do one.
Well, I know we can. It's just a matter of getting people to commit and do something. But I think it's going to take some people putting a foot forward first to get it going.
I think trying to get webcomic people to commit and go forward it may be the problem to begin with. You know, this is the much...
no, we're the hobbyists and amateurs here.
Much prophesized herding cats kind of phenomena is what's happening here. And then there's screaming.
meow.
Yeah, Mom, see, this is what I do every Sunday. This is why I can't come over. Meowing.
So maybe we should decide what format this should all be in, because I think we haven't done that yet.
Well, it's in the forum.
It has to be such and such size and all this stuff.
I'm sorry, I have to go back for a second. My mom got it. You Vaseline the inside of the pumpkin.
Of the pumpkin.
When you Vaseline the pumpkin, kinky. It won't grow mold.
That's kinky, Tanya.
That's like the hole inside?
That's
or just
my mother you're talking about.
You use Vaseline on the holes?
What? On the stuff you cut. Like
she
little
said you can
eyes.
Also refrigerate them, but we ended up like but any place where it's cut or where you scoop out the inside, if you just rub a little Vaseline on it, it takes care of it.
Yeah,
and the top of the stem too, so that doesn't dry out.
Yeah.
The cut part of the stem, you're supposed to put some Vaseline on that so it doesn't the stem doesn't dry out and break off.
Right.
You can also put like the stump stuff, you know, the stuff that you paint on tree stumps.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Oh, that'd be even better.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, went back to pumpkins. Thanks, Mom.
Pumpkin.
Make sure the stem doesn't get dry and break off, and take care of the stump. Got it. Anyway, there's the page style. You can go to Kablam and look at the standard size comic books. And that is what we're looking at, 7 inches wide by 10.5 inches high. But that's the full bleed size, and the live area is going to be 6x9. Yeah, 300 DPI, I believe. You go to the forum, the Compilation Book Project idea, and there's information there. Go ahead and check that out. People that are interested, you know, please post something about making a recipe. Or some maybe a strip or a page or you know some little comic about making something, you know, something cooking related. You know, we want to get that going, and I'm going to try to get some stuff going. But right now, shit, we're running out of tape. Holy shit!
I couldn't imagine why we've.
Anyway, this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
Wait a minute! Don't you have some news? Don't you have something you're supposed to say? Isn't there something about that thing that someone's going to talk about?
Oh, so wait, before we go, we have Michael Sisk on the line to talk about Webcomic and Inkblot. These are a plugin and theme used for webcomic users of WordPress. And now, Mike, you got some stuff going on, don't you?
I guess that's why I'm here. I don't know. It was your idea to have me.
Yeah, it was. You have your instructional videos, don't you?
Yeah. Actually, I've been doing a series of instructional videos. The sixth one is being posted to Vimeo as we speak. That basically go through and sort of walk you through the process of installing the plugin and theme, setting them up, customizing things. The most recent one actually walk through and show you how to take any WordPress theme and make it work with webcomics, so you can just grab whatever theme you want and sort of customize it and use it for your webcomic site if you want.
And yeah, I'll link these in the show notes, but I had looked at you had webcomics, Webcomic 101, which is basically a real quick and easy way just to get up and put something out there. And, so it's really, really cool, because if you don't like to read like me, this is a great way to figure out this plugin. I got dyslexia or some shit.
Me read pretty one day.
Yeah. One thing I did want to mention, I don't know if it was mentioned before, first I'll mention you basically, if anybody's noticed, Comic Press, which is like one of the first or at least one of the other biggest ones out there for comic managing on using WordPress, they finally updated their base theme to not look like, well, kind of crap. I mean, I got to a point where it's like, oh, well, yeah, they're using Comic Press because it looks so blah.
Yeah.
But now
yeah.
They updated it. They have a really sweet-looking interface and everything with cool buttons and everything, and you ripped that off.
Yeah, I actually did. Everyone was saying how great it looked, and so I sat down, and it took maybe an hour, and I released a theme that basically duplicates their look exactly, or as close as I could. I didn't actually like use any of their graphics. I just sort of looked at it, and you can actually download that off of the official webcomic site with the original Photoshop file if you want to customize the graphics and stuff.
That is awesome. I was talking to you earlier about, well, what if I don't want red? It's like, well, do it yourself. Grab the VSDs, do it yourself.
I am going to add more colors for the next release, so people don't have to. red is kind of an ugly color, so.
Well, it's not that bad. It's better than just plain old black and white.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all open source goodness.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Huzzah. But of course, open source comes with a price to the creator. So go ahead and go to Michael Sisk's website and click on the donate button, because he's been doing awesome work with the webcomic and Inkblot.
Thank you. Yeah. Donations are always appreciated.
And yeah, of course. And there's one thing I wanted to say. One thing that's really awesome about Inkblot is that you have Inkblot and you have Inkblot Child. So when you upgrade Inkblot or anything like that, you don't have to redo the entire theme that you have.
Yeah, actually, Silkscreen, which is the Comic Press ripoff, is actually another Inkblot Child theme. So it uses Inkblot, but it's just sort of a heavily customized version.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Yeah.
So ahead and we'll put that link in. Do you have an easier to remember .com again? What is it?
It's mycaroan.com.
Yeah, I can't spell that. So we'll put that.
Yeah. Good.
Or Google webcomic and Inkblot. Otherwise, we'll put that link in our show notes. And well, Mike, thanks for coming on the show and
letting us
know. All right. Good luck with everything.
I am porting the new site over. I'm using Inkblot on the new site, and it's really
yeah.
Not that difficult, folks. Cool. So, yeah.
Very cool. I had no idea you were using it. That's.
I just started moving things over.
Oh, wow.
You got me with the, you know, if you have different comics on the same site, you can have different backgrounds and stuff, different designs. Oh, and
yeah,
I was like, I got all excited.
Yeah, the last video tutorial discusses that, actually.
Oh, because that's what right now. I'm like, okay, I have all of this on there. Crap, yeah. How do I do that? So that's good.
105, go watch it.
Watch it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yay.
Well, all right. Well,
yay.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Thanks for coming on.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right. Well,
so there.
Well, that is it for the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of Betaphone.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
All right.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
What is the reason why you use there's me and my stupid tongue.